FM and 1360 AM, along with Southern Season, present Side Dish with Jay White and Liz Cooper. Listen over the next 30 minutes as Jay White and Liz Cooper present the Chapel Hill Carrboro community with insights from the world of culinary, local and national farming, and so much more. Side Dish is brought to you by Southern Season, Chapel Hill's landmark gourmet emporium. Great for local gifts and delicious favorites. Visit them online at southernseason.com. And now, here's your host, Jay White and Liz Cooper, with Side Dish on 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL.
Welcome to another edition of Side Dish. I'm Jay White, and I'm here with my co-host, Liz Cooper. And Liz, we have some beverage people with us today. Would you like to introduce them for us?
Absolutely. So we have Scott Connery with Carrboro Coffee Roasters and Will Eiley from Steel String Brewing. So let's get a little background on you gentlemen. Will, you want to go ahead and start? Tell us how you got into the whole brewing gig?
Sure thing, yeah. Me and my three partners, we met right after college. Actually, Andrew and I knew each other through college, and he grew up here in Chapel Hill. Basically, I've grown up in Chapel Hill. I've lived here for over 20 years, but another 8 years of my life I've lived in Virginia and Eastern North Carolina. So we knew each other from middle school as well, but basically met up after college, and we met Eric Knight, our third partner. He went to Guilford College. He's actually from Boston, and we all just had a love for home brewing and bluegrass music, interestingly enough. So we decided that we had gotten our recipes to the point that we really wanted to start taking it seriously. We had built ourselves our own brewery in our backyard, so we started seriously thinking about how we could start a brewery in Carrboro, because we felt like it was kind of the perfect location for a craft brewery and just happened to not have one downtown at the time. That was about 4 years ago that we started in earnest really thinking about how we could start a brewery. So then we started putting our business plan together. We started asking the town for loans and bugging them, and they just started down the path, and it all kind of came together exactly like it should. So we saw a place that was about to open up that we seemed like would be perfect for a brewery, and it just happened to be for lease right around the time that we started. So it really all kind of just came together. We happened to meet Eric. Andrew and I have been brewing for a long time, and this place popped up, and we were able to secure a loan. So we just kind of risked it all, and that's where we are today.
So you guys opened up in 2012?
Yeah, April 20th. 2013 is when we opened.
2013, so okay.
We started construction in August of 2012.
So okay. You're a year into it.
We are.
Any regrets? happy with your decision?
Regrets, not necessarily, but we've learned a lot. We have made a lot of changes throughout the process, and I think we're really happy with where we are right now.
Great.
Part of that is the bottled offerings that we weren't able to do when we first opened, and that's been really exciting to do some collaborations like what we've done here with Scott and Carrboro Coffee Roasters, and really starting to connect with the community a little bit more. You know, we were definitely, you know, feeling like we had to start treading water at some point. We didn't quite know what we were doing when we first started going, so it's been nice to feel like
that's the beauty of a new business.
Yeah,
it's always a learning experience.
Yeah, but you know, of all things I could think of, beer in a college town, I mean, how risky can we actually risky can we be? But that was a
well,
good
it's gotta
segue
be good beer.
Good segue into Scott. So you have teamed up with Scott, but Scott, before we get into your collaboration, tell us a little bit about you and your background with your business.
Well, the roastery, Carrboro Coffee Roasters, has been around since 2004. So we've been roasting in the building. We share the building with the Open Eye Cafe, which is appropriately right across the street from Steel String, its current location. And I would echo his sentiments that the town definitely needed exactly what they're doing, and we've been waiting a while for it. So, you know, for us, it was a moment. We have literally been waiting for the right partners to do something like this and find people who are as excited about it as we were hopeful that it would be an exciting partnership. So I've been in the coffee industry for over 20 years, doing a little bit of everything. You know, as I mentioned, we have the retail aspect of the coffee as well, with the Open Eye Cafe, as well as Cafe Driotti in Chapel Hill.
So what got you into coffee roasting?
Too long a story, but if I could find a short version, it would be a passion for coffee, just loving coffee at a very young age, which I think is unusual in general, and certainly in our country it's unusual, although it's not so unusual in other countries. and a personality that when they like something, I want to know everything about it. So that's definitely what's driven it throughout my life, and then eventually made me take the plunge into ownership and actually having a passion that becomes a passionate business, which I think is
and
what you
still love it. That's
exactly
a, that's an amazing thing to take something that is a passion, and once it becomes work, it doesn't become a job. It still is a passion.
Yeah, really, and to your earlier point about new businesses and learning. Old businesses, you keep learning as well, and that's
exactly.
That's actually what keeps me excited about it.
So, how actually did you get into the roasting part? Were you working for someone else?
I actually learned to roast at a very young age and didn't apply it until earlier. I had a neighbor who was home roasting, and looking back, remarkably rudimentary, but enough to have that spark and enough to have that idea in the back of my head that made me excited about this and what's going on and how does it all work. And really, our business model is based around the idea of being able to answer questions like that and not have any, well, I'm not sure exactly what's going on here. And so that's our drive, is to continue to find those answers.
Yeah, that's definitely something that we see, too, as we keep growing is, right now a lot of our quality control is sensory-based. We can look at the beer, we can taste the beer, we can smell the beer, but as far as the science, we want to start pushing that a little bit more and trying to find all of the answers to, well, why did it taste slightly differently?
Right. It's interesting in both businesses, because it requires sourcing products obviously elsewhere. And so do you have any, I would imagine, some sort of philosophy in how you source the beans and how you source the grains and the hops and the things?
I'm sure Scott has a deep philosophy about that.
I suspected as much.
On the website of, I think it was your website, the Steel, you said something about you take the hops and apply the North Carolina vernacular to it.
Right.
Can you explain what that is? And then my follow-up question would be, do you do the same kind of thing with coffee? Is there what is a North Carolina vernacular when it comes to
I was an English major at UNC, so I enjoy thinking about things in a North Carolina way. So what we try to do is just, first of all, we source almost 40% of all of our grain that we use from North Carolina. Riverbend Malt House in Asheville has been really great about that. It's grown, at least in Danville, Virginia, is the farthest away that it's been grown and malted up there in Asheville. So that's kind of where we start with our base, and obviously water is coming from North Carolina. But we're trying to integrate kind of these new American styles that are pushing some of the boundaries into what we here in North Carolina consider, our beer scene. So just really taking it to be the new South. We are the beer scene of the South, and we want to push those new American boundaries into the Southern beer culture.
Before we go to break, real quick, give us the Steel String address and website and all that good stuff.
We are 106A South Greensboro Street, right off Main Street in downtown Carrboro, and our website is steelstringbrewery.com.
Very good. We'll get the other information when we come back. We're going to break right now. You're listening to Side Dish on WCHL 97.9.
You're listening to Side Dish on 97.9 FM and 1360 AM, WCHL, presented by Southern Season in Chapel Hill, online at southernseason.com. And now, back with more Side Dish with Jay White and Liz Cooper.
Welcome back to Side Dish. Liz, you wanted to have a follow-up question first.
Yeah, since we talked a little bit about the vernacular of North Carolina things, but I really wanted to get Scott's sourcing philosophy. That I mentioned earlier.
Yeah. So what Will was talking about, the sourcing, that's one of the things that, one of the many reasons we like working with them. They're conscientious about where they're sourcing from and the reasons that they're doing it. And for many reasons, but one of the main ones being location, we have to sort of turn that whole idea on its head. So we're not going to get coffee from North Carolina. And we have to think about it in different ways. We have to think about it in very international ways. And our sourcing really depends on our direct relationship program. And that's about working directly with the farmers, just as you would here, except that there is time and distance and a whole lot of politics involved in having that product actually end up at your door. And what our goal is to make sure that we're creating a truly sustainable program that allows the farmer to do what seems like a very simple thing, which is grow fantastic coffee. But there are so many blockades in the way.
Actually,
yeah. Well,
the
and
getting in,
so cutting out middleman is always a helpful thing. It's much harder than it sounds. And when you can accomplish even part of that goal, you see the results and you see the fact that suddenly the people who are doing the work can focus on the work as opposed to having to think about everything else, the things we take for granted. You know, the things like clean water and hospitals and schools that we just sort of like, yeah, we've got them. It's no problem. This is a struggle for them and it's an aside in a way, and yet it's integral to what they do on a regular basis. Sure. So our goal is to find out what do they need and how do we make that happen so that we can continue to support them in making great coffee. And not just this year and not just a sale, but a long-term relationship that requires time and trust.
Sure.
Is that relationship between you and your company and a farmer, or are there other people like you trying to do it on a bigger scale?
For us, the answer is yes to the first part of that. We're not a large company, but our mission statement is basically saying, yes, we're going to do this ourselves, or we're not going to do it at all. And it often can be single farmers. We work a lot with small farmers and families because they're the most incentivized. So these are the people who actually have a good reason to do the things that need to be done. But that's not to say we don't work with co-ops and estates, depending on what the appropriate scenario is. Now, in certain countries, that's the only way you can work. So every country's different. The politics are different. The nightmares of import-export are different. There's a lot going on there. But at the heart of it's about building relationships.
And philosophically, I think that you just have to find like minds. And I would think even locally, you have to find somebody that's philosophically of a like mind
that you can
feel good about.
And that was the idea of
business with you.
Carrying that relationship construct through all the way to the final product.
Wonderful.
We have a relationship with our farmer. We have a relationship with our clients, the people that we do wholesale with, which is partly this kind of partnership that we're doing with Will. And then we have a relationship with the people who are actually drinking the coffee, who actually gets it.
Right. Yeah, awesome. Speaking of drinking, we have some samples both from the coffee roastery and also from Steel String Brewery. So
it's going to be difficult for us to go ahead and sample, but I think we're going to take that.
Tell us what we're drinking, Scott.
So I brought the coffee that serves as the base. Well, not the base. That's probably the wrong word, Will. as part of the beer that is Night Train, the IPA, and Will will tell you more about how it was put together. But it was also brewed a little differently. I mean, we're brewing it here for our consumption as opposed to how it would be presented in the beer itself. But the effect will be somewhat similar in taste profile.
The coffee is... I wish you could smell it. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, this is an incredible coffee.
It's an incredible aroma. I agree.
I forgot to tell you what it was. How's that? So this is a coffee from Ethiopia. It's from the Yirgacheffe region. It is affectionately known as Yurgs with a capital Z, and the Z stands for zero defects. So the idea behind this coffee is that most coffees do defect sorting for a couple of minutes, maybe two, maybe as many as four sometimes, but that's pretty unusual. This went through defect sorting for 6 to 10 minutes. So extra money and extra time are spent to make sure this is the highest quality coffee it can be. We're looking at a delicious, you're probably already getting it, very floral. Citrus, sort of lemon rind, really nice tea-like qualities, but still has that base, that almost molasses-like base, that syrupiness, delightful.
And we noticed, especially when we were sampling the other day, but it changes a little bit as it cools, too. It gets a little more citrus.
It's that sort of retro palate, citrusy, like rind.
So how does your delicious, Yurgs, get into the other glass that I'm holding?
I'm going to let Will answer that one.
Right. So
go ahead. Can you quickly tell us how to understand that combination?
Yeah. Well, really simply, the way that we added the coffee is we took a 3x strength cold brew and injected it into our coffee. So we poured it into a keg and then used pressure to push it in to a almost finished beer. So now when we first paired these beers, we made a hop tea. And then we took a couple of different cold presses of different types of coffee, and that's part of what we're going to continue to do. So this is the first iteration of the Night Train, but we're already getting labels printed for the second iteration. And it was really nice how the Yurgs and that lemon kind of rind aroma paired with Centennial hops, which is So we made a single hop IPA, just to feature one so that you can get more complexity out of multiple hops, but as we just thought it would be interesting.
It's really smooth, though. I mean, I like there's hoppiness, but it's not overwhelming. It's not incredibly bitter. It just has that. It's almost, I mean, I equate a lot of things to wine, but it's almost like if you have skin contact with wine, it gives you a little pithiness on the roof of your palate.
Yeah.
And that's, it gives that complexity
kind of
to
the,
it.
The descriptor that they use a lot for that centennial hop is grapefruit, grapefruit rind kind of aroma. Mm-hmm. And then we took that recipe and we went to a really basic pale ale recipe. The original beer, almost all the color you're seeing in this is coming from the coffee. The original beer was very blonde. And then we stepped the IBUs down below what would typically be an IPA level just to let that coffee shine through a little bit more. So then you get that kind of molasses flavor and a little bit of the lemon and grapefruit are interplaying in the aroma. But it's really well paired. I'd say that's the only comment we've had from people is they don't notice the coffee very well. But I think it's really well paired to the point that you aren't going to get those dark chocolate
right.
or nut
I was
going
to say it's important to note that I think if you taste the coffee, you can see it's definitely there. But I think when people think of a coffee, even a coffee IPA, they're
exactly.
expecting those nutty cocoa aromas.
This is what I love about it.
It's really wonderful.
Yeah,
it's
there's a lot of preconceived ideas about what coffee beers are and maybe even should be. And this is sort of coming completely off that. And the flavor that you're getting is from the coffee, but it's not necessarily coffee forward.
Well, we want to make sure that we get your Carborough coffee address,
okay.
email, contact information.
Great. We're at 101 South Greensboro Street, right across the street from Steel String Brewery downtown Carborough. It's carboroughcoffee.com, real simple, and you can go on there and find all kinds of information about us.
Fantastic.
Don't go away. We'll be right back after a short break.
You're listening to Side Dish on 97.9 FM and 1360 AM, WCHL, presented by Southern Season in Chapel Hill, online at southernseason.com. And now, back with more Side Dish with Jay White and Liz Cooper.
Welcome back to Side Dish. We are having a good conversation about beer and coffee and the collaboration of the two. So, Liz?
Yes, it's a shame that you couldn't be here in between takes. But anyway, so Will, we want to talk about your future children. with Scott. So the next
That'll
iterations.
Start him talking.
There you go. The next iterations of the coffee and brew.
Yeah, so we should have at least two more iterations of the Night Train. We have very little label here at the bottom that tells you it's Ethiopian Yerrigs and Centennial. We should be doing La Providencia and Cascade next, and then hopefully another single hop, single coffee pairing. And in the fall, we have, for this past fall, we did, I think, four batches of our oatmeal and coffee stout, which was a huge hit. And people have been asking us to bring it back, but it just, our fermenters are tied up with spring type beers right now. So we haven't gotten around to bringing it yet, but that'll probably be in bottles too now that we're doing that. So
very exciting that you guys are starting to bottle.
I know.
I'm hoping to
apply
you.
No, it's one of the things we've been longing for, and it's so fantastic to see it come true. To be able to sell our own coffee beer in the cafes is pretty exciting.
So, Scott, what's going on with your businesses?
So, along the lines of what Will mentioned, when we did the stout last year, we also paired with Tar Heel Creamery. To make a coffee ice cream that was made with the same exact coffee, La Providencia from Guatemala, and then put them together as a stout float.
And we called it Creamery or Chapel Hill Creamery?
Tar Heel.
Tar Heel.
The ice cream folks. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And we called it the triple threat for the three local businesses that were using the same coffee to make an amazing and I think pretty
really
unique
starting to pick
experience.
Up. It's a great,
yeah.
You know, it's almost like pizza. It's the perfect beverage.
It was
<you know>?
stunningly delicious. Yeah, and we're looking forward to doing that again in the fall when we bring that beer back. So you know, keeping those kind of pairings going on and making it exciting for people. And then we have a lot of workshops. We do education's a big part of what we do, trying to get people to make better coffee and enjoy coffee and all that information can be found on our website.
Which is?
CarboroughCoffee.com.
And Steel String?
Steel String Brew or Brewery.com.
This was
two
fantastic.
Two young entrepreneurs here in Chapel Hill, Carborough. We're very excited for both of you, and good luck with your businesses. and the collaboration seems to be right on track. It's great.
Great. Thanks for having us. And thanks for considering us young.
You are listening to WCHL. Join us again next week when Liz and I have more tasty talk around the table.